You're listening to the Bold True Life podcast with Henna and Maimuna. We're sisters, life coaches, and we have honest conversations about what it takes to blaze your own trail in life.
This means we'll be talking about the triumphs and the struggles of showing up to our lives with authenticity, courage, and mindfulness. We hope you enjoy the episode.
Hey guys, welcome to this episode of the Bold True Life podcast. This is Henna.
And this is Maimuna.
And today we are talking about authenticity. This is a pretty broad topic, so we decided to focus on just one piece of it. Today we're going to be focusing on how to be authentic with ourselves. And the reason we decided to start there is because, well, that's kind of where it really starts. It's this idea of being authentic, being real, you know, being honest has sort of become this buzzword or almost a buzz trait to have. And it is important, but we can't really do it with other people until we've learned and practiced doing it with ourselves, until we've faced our truth and our pain and our struggles and processed it on our end. And so it's only when we've kind of worked through everything that we could go and present ourselves in that way to other people.
You know, I think about it in like levels. We have authenticity levels, and I definitely see the difference between, you know, my teenage years to my early 20s, late 20s, and now I'm in my mid 30s. Like game levels, you're kind of like going to the next level of being real. And it, like you said, it starts with your own reality. But I've seen that actually kind of expand, like a muscle that expands. So, you know, as I grew older, I'm more real just in my life in general to myself.
Yeah. It's something that with practice we get better at. And the flip side, or another way of looking at it, is the areas of our life we're kind of in denial about, right, Mooney? The things that we avoid looking at or thinking about. And we do that for a reason, you know. It's stuff that's hard to look at. It's painful. It's overwhelming. You know, we're going to get more into the reasons a little bit later on in the episode. But there's definitely a reason why we're doing it. And it makes sense. And it's protecting us from having to deal with certain things, but that only works to a certain extent. Like at some point or another, the issue is going to get so big, so loud, so like unavoidable that it's going to kind of punch us in the face at some point or another. It's going to spill out. It's going to spill out into our life in some way, you know, where it's going to affect our relationships. It's, you know, we might end up getting sick or all the other ways. It's just going to get so loud that we can't ignore it anymore.
Yeah. And I think this is the main reason we're talking about this, like denial in general, is because sometimes our defense mechanisms are just too much, where we start avoiding things that are actually really important, even though they're not urgent. And so then the urgency, once it piles and piles and piles, then spills over, that's what then gets our attention, to pay attention to it then, like you were saying. And we want to be in a place where we're getting to decide what's important to us, and we're getting to choose versus it choosing for you. So today, I'm just going to kind of explain a little bit about how we've set up this episode. Hopefully it makes a little bit of sense. Henna and I, as we were talking about this and thinking about how to present this, we started digging into our own stories of denial, our own examples, and started to kind of process it, look at it, break it apart, analyze it. And a lot of what we came up with is that all of our denial had certain obstacles in the way for us. And once those were removed, the issue that we were denying kind of surfaced to the top. It's not like you have to go out in your life and go, what am I denying? I'm going to face it right now. You actually just have to remove the obstacles out of your way. And then it kind of presents itself on its own. So Henna, why don't you go ahead and talk about some of your examples, and then I'll share mine.
Okay. So as we were talking and about this and thinking, it took me a while to figure out what pieces of my life, what parts of my life am I avoiding? Because it just wasn't, I guess I was really avoiding it, I don't know, but it wasn't like at the forefront. It wasn't clear to me, but as I thought about it some more, the first thing that came to my mind was that I tend to avoid stuff that I'm feeling kind of unsure about or insecure around. And one area of my life where I have that come up is when it comes to dealing with health related things. This is like a big piece of my life that I struggle with managing like head on. And alhamdulillah, thankfully I'm young and I'm pretty healthy. I don't have any major issues, but there's always those random symptoms or recurring things that are relatively minor, and they're not a big deal now, but I don't rush to take care of them. I just kind of let them be, even though I'm worrying about them. And I recognize that it's a thing that I should take care of, especially because I pay a lot of attention to the people that are closer to me, especially when it's, my elders. And I've seen them go through certain health situations in the past, and I'm seeing them deal with certain things now. And I recognize what a real possibility that is for me one day, to be dealing with more serious stuff. And so, wow, there was a really loud beep. But
That's okay.
anyways, going right back to the topic, I recognize that I might have to deal with that stuff one day. And the best thing I can do for myself right now is take really good care of myself and work on prevention.
I think that one thing that is, you're making a connection in your mind that not everyone already knows, but that a lot of these health things are super preventable. And it's a just lifestyle changes, right? For you, that is significant. Whereas other people might not fully understand like how impactful like healthy eating could be on chronic disease later on, So I think that that has been an aha at some point in your life, and you're like, oh, this is my whole like way of eating needs to change.
It's really like you said, it's like that whole the lifestyle change is the hard part of that, just figuring out how to do that and still like be able to just still do my usual thing and not have like this all this extra work to deal with along the way.
I'm going to share a little bit of a story for my denial thing because it kind of came to me in this kind of random way. As we were talking, Hannah, we decided we wanted to do authenticity, and the day after we decided that this is going to be part of our topic, and we also knew we wanted to talk, like it was too big of a topic to tackle in one episode. So we knew we wanted to talk about something specific, but we didn't know exactly what it was yet. And so I talked to Hannah. Next day, I went to this field trip with my kids. My two daughters, my other two boys go to school now, and they're homeschooling. And we went with
So, hold on a minute. Your
this fellow.
daughters are homeschooling, right?
My daughters are homeschooling,
Okay.
yes.
Just wanted to make
Thank
that
you for
clear.
helping me make that clear. Okay. My daughters are homeschooling, and we went on this field trip to Butler's Orchard, which is a farm in our area. Is the beeping on my side very loud?
No.
Okay. This beeping is a theme. Okay, so we went to Butler's Orchard, and they're having this fall festival. If you guys are in the DC area, check it out. It's really, really nice, especially if you're homeschooling. And we have this almost picturesque day. We went on a hayride, we picked pumpkins, they ate outside, and there's all these like fun activities. And eventually we sat down, the weather is amazing, and we sat down this corner of the farm that's gated with like farm animals that they could feed. Like Sakina was trying to feed the goats. She was kind of funny because she was like putting her hand out and then like psyching them out because she's scared of their tongue touching her. It was kind of
Oh,
funny
that's so
watching
cute.
her. And here we are, four moms sitting in the middle on a breezy day. It was so beautiful. picturesque in terms of homeschooling. And something that I, again, a connection in my mind that's being made is that play is so important. When do your 9-year-olds from school have a time, a whole day, just to like play?
Yeah.
It's kind of correlates to an adult's, the thoughts that kind of come up, the genius ideas that we have in the shower, because your mind is not like focusing on something specific. It's, there's time to process. So for kids, that play is really important. So in my mind, I'm like, awesome. Like there's this academic side, but then they can process and their brain is actually being benefited incredibly because they're playing this way. So picturesque day of homeschooling. And we moms, I'm kind of new to the group, so we had like a really good conversation and we were sharing. And so one mom, they were asking me, what did I study? Even though I'm a life coach, I was like, oh, economics. Yeah, it has nothing to do with what I do now. And we started getting into it, like how I learned psychology. And I was telling them, you know, I almost homeschooled psychology because the homeschooling moms, I had a mentor who was a homeschooling mom, and we literally learned, it was PBL, which is like project-based learning or problem-based learning. We learned psychology through our problems as moms and just listening to each other and going back and forth. And as I was sharing, another mom shared like, yeah, like I have this mom's group and that really helps me process my stuff. And I would not have grown had I not had the space. And so she was telling, she made this really big kind of discovery that the brokenness in the world, like these larger geopolitical situations like global warming and the political climate we're in, those issues are a bigger reflection of our smaller individual brokenness. And that was kind of a big aha for her. Like we are a microcosm of this bigger problem. And the other mom was talking about like how our subconscious is driving our whole lives, and we're not even aware of the impact of all of these subconscious thoughts that we're having. So I had this picturesque day. That was my point, and came away with, from what we were, our discussion, came away with these two big points, and then went to sleep. And when I woke up the next day, which was yesterday, I was realizing, I woke up thinking about Yemen, of all things to think about. And in Yemen right now, if you haven't been following the news, Yemen is on the brink of a famine that has been, will have been the worst famine in the last 100 years. It's not, it's not hundreds, it's not thousands, it's not even hundreds of thousands. It's millions of people who are starving. And millions of kids, really. And so I have this one picture in my mind of like this day, we're just kind of going about our day. And then I woke up with these thoughts about these kids in Yemen, and nothing really happened. Like I've just been listening to the news, I've been following it, and I've been, my Facebook feed, you know, sometimes has this, has these starving kids on it, and I can't even look at it for very long. And so I recognized this was my denial story, that when my defenses were down, you know, like in that lucid place of sleep, when your defenses are down, the things that you're kind of protecting yourself from arise, which is a lot of times why we have problems sleeping, why, you know, that's when our dreams have like these weird subconscious things happening. You're processing some of that. And so for me, the whole issue that was happening in Yemen came up, and it's just super heavy. Like that stuff, it's disturbing to the core. And I was realizing millions of kids are dying, and here we are kind of going about our day having this, you know, farm. So there's a lot of emotions with that. There's guilt, I guess, and it's pretty profound to think about. But then I left Hannah a 22-minute message about how we should talk about denial.
And so here we are talking about denial.
So Hannah, let's get into like some of the things that we recognize were why we avoid what we avoid.
So we had four main reasons why we tend to avoid dealing with things or facing things. and live in that place of denial. And so number one was having a lack of clarity around an issue or something that we're struggling with. So it might be that we're unclear on our feelings around it. We haven't processed why we feel how we feel.
Can you share how, like, from your perspective of the health thing, how this played out for you?
Yeah.
This lack of clarity, like why that contributed to avoiding your health even more.
Yeah. When it comes to how I'm feeling, and this is, you know, emotionally how I'm feeling, so not physically for the health thing. I think emotionally it's just, it's a couple of things. One, it's just, it's overwhelming. And two, so frustrating sometimes to constantly be like on alert about things. Like it's just, it's hard to live that way. Mm. And then it's also, so one of my, I guess, like recurring more minor issues is I have had these PMS symptoms coming up for years. And so, you know, every month I kind of go through this of like really struggling. And I have tried so many different things for it, but A, it's hard to keep up with. B, sometimes it just doesn't work. There's just so many different pieces to, like, it's not just one thing that's going to fix everything. So it's like I have to experiment a lot. I'm just tired, overwhelmed, frustrated by the whole process sometimes. And I just don't want to do it. And
you don't have clarity around the solution.
Yeah.
So then it's really hard to have clarity. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the other piece. So I don't have clarity around, we may not have clarity around feelings. Another area where we won't necessarily have clarity is how to get to the solution that we want.
I would say the third thing around clarity for my issue, I would say that there isn't clarity because you're lonely in it. So it's not like I can point to it and I can say, yes, this is, I definitely know what I'm feeling. So I'm clear on my feelings about Yemen, the helplessness, the sadness, the all of that. And I definitely don't, I'm not clear on the solution. Like I know how I can help, maybe, you know, give some money, but I'm not really clear exactly what the general solution is, nor am I clear at what my role is. So that's part of it. But the third thing is, it's not, we don't see it on the news spoken about in terms of stories. Statistics are put out. This is an issue and we need to do something about it is put out. But we're not getting the individual stories of these people who are struggling in this way. And it's not like alarm, alarm. Everyone's not walking around going, this is a global issue and it's really important. Here are the stories. And I think that happens for so many people, like the Me Too movement and the Black Lives Matter movement are marginalized people going, we are going to put out the stories one by one if we have to. Even if that's not something the news focuses on, we are going to bring attention to this using social media. We're going to pull out our phones every time this happens. You know, we're going to call out abusers every time it happens. Enough is enough. And it's like this collective, we've had enough of the BS.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I'm realizing that not everyone's story is going to be shared. Like you can be a rich white man and have something that's ambiguous, but still bothering you. You're going to be in denial about it because that thing is unnamed. That hurt, that pain is unnamed. So clarity is a really big one. Yeah.
Okay.
So how about number two? Let's move on to the second why we avoid / deny.
So the second reason that we tend to avoid or deny things is the fact, the very annoying fact, I should say, that things usually have to get messier before we can get to cleaning them up. So we're already feeling messy. And then we also know that if we go in any deeper, it's not going to get cleaned up. It's just going to get more messy for a little while. And so we're going to have to sit in even more of a mess for a little bit as we figure things out and process and work through stuff and, you know, maybe have hard conversations or whatever it is that it takes for us to start cleaning it up.
Number three.
Number three, I wasn't sure if you had anything to add on that end. So I was like,
No, right. That's pretty clear.
Okay, number three, and I think you might have something to add on this one. Let's see. Feeling helpless in the process is number three. And that's just, you know, for me, when it comes to dealing with it, almost anything that I avoid, but especially with health stuff, like, yeah, sometimes not knowing where to start, not knowing how to go about it, or if there is like a way to really solve the problem, just feeling helpless and suffering and going through pain and not knowing if there is anything we can do about it or how to go about starting to do something about it.
Yeah, I think I would add on this, like, number two for me is things are going to get messy, but then they're going to eventually get cleaned up and there's a solution. And the helplessness is definitely something that came up for me with the Yemen thing, because it's so much suffering and there's just death and there's just loss and there's no way, there's nowhere to go from there, you know? That's it. And so when it's grave like that, I mean, I guess you can take an existential perspective then on, you know, what's the purpose of loss, what's the purpose of suffering. But for the most part, like, avoiding pain because it's painful, you know, like the helplessness is a big reason why, and you almost have to really wrap your mind around that before you can start facing it. Like, this is something that's going to cause me a lot of pain, and I'm just going to have to accept that this is painful before I can even face it. So, yeah, like, this is haunting. This is super haunting. And I just had to, when I was leaving you the message, I was listening to it and I was like, yeah, this really, oh my God, I can't even look at the pictures.
Yeah.
And I have to be able to look at the pictures to be able to face this stuff, you know, that's happening. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's such a big, the helpless thing is just, it's such a big piece, and I think it's very underrated. We don't recognize all the time that we're just feeling so helpless in a situation.
Another thing to add to this, sorry to interrupt you. Another thing to add to this is that the type of loss, it kind of connects with that number one, lack of clarity. The type of loss that you're feeling is sometimes not normal. What's quote unquote normal, you know? So again, you could be this, I had this situation in my marriage where Aski and I, we've been married for 16 years and we have a very good marriage for the most part. But the other day I found myself like butt hurt about something seemingly very stupid, and I see it, he sees it, he gets that I'm upset, I get that I'm upset, but over something that's pretty ridiculous to be upset about. And it, the loss that I was feeling, I started processing this with my coach, Janie Manny, who came last episode. And she was like, girl, just judge him. Go ahead. Go for it. He's a great person, but just say what you got to say about him, you know, like spit it out. And as I was talking, I was like, oh my God, this small, seemingly small thing is a much bigger thing that's unnamed. But the loss that I was feeling was also kind of unclear. You get what I'm saying? Like, it was, the small thing actually pointed to a bigger thing, and that bigger thing I couldn't face because I was not even giving myself permission because, wow, he's a great person and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, so it was, it's this thing that we do, is like we illegitimize that pain. So first it's, there's the helplessness, and then there's the pain, and then there's illegitimate pain. Eventually, you know, happy ending, we talked, and because he's a great person, he listened and acknowledged, and, you know, we haven't figured out a solution per se, but just me being able to go back and forth with him was really helpful. And I'm glad that I had a coach, because I couldn't be like, hey, I'm going to judge you, just sit here and let me do this until we figure it out.
Yeah. And Imani said exactly that last time. She was like, that's why you have a coach. You clean things up with them and then you can take it back to, right. you know, whatever the yeah. situation is and like then apply. But it's not, they're not right. going to get the messy first draft. They're going to get a more polished and
right.
like yeah. something you can explain. And, you know, you also have worked through it so you can be kind in that space also yeah. on
and
your
that's
end.
To your point, Hannah, like, go ahead. Sorry.
Sorry. I was
finish
just
your thought.
Say, I was just gonna say you can be kind and compassionate as you're doing that because you've done the work. Mm. But go ahead. What were you gonna say?
Yeah, I was saying this is to your point in the beginning of the episode where you were saying you can't be real with someone until you're real with yourself, and until you kind of do it off in a corner and then yeah, bring it back.
Exactly. And then the very last, our fourth reason why we tend to avoid or deny things is that they don't feel urgent enough. And do you want to explain that a little bit more, Moni?
What we're talking about is something that's a priority in your life. For example, your thing, Hannah, is your health, and that's a priority. But in the moment, there's no sirens going off in your head, you know, no huge red flags. So it's like, okay, I'll deal with this later. Okay, I'll deal with it later. Okay, now it's a big deal. Now it's overwhelming and I have to deal with it. So
yeah, exactly. And I can, I guess on a smaller note, I totally do that with my health. Like I have, I have this like recurring upper back shoulder pain thing. And I sometimes like, I'll try and, you know, relax it and pay attention to how I'm sleeping and my posture, but I won't actually go and do something about it when it's starting to hurt. I probably will not deal with it until like I'm like I can barely do anything with that arm anymore or that side of my body, and then I'm like, okay, I'll go to the chiropractor now. Like it's time to get this adjusted. But it's, you know, I could just go probably one or two times for adjustments instead of having to go like 15 times because I waited until it was so bad.
You know, Stephen Covey, who is the author of 7 Highly Effective People, he has this illustration that is pretty profound. And I'm sure a lot of you have heard it if you've been in the self-help space. But he does this thing where he gets 2 jars. There's these big rocks, medium-sized rocks, small rocks, and sand. And on the first jar, you're supposed to put the sand in, the small rocks, the medium rocks, and the big rocks. Mm-hmm. And on the second one, you reverse the order. You put your big rocks in, and with the first one, you can't fit everything in because you've started with the smaller things. But the second one, when you put your big rocks in first, the medium-sized rocks kind of fit around the big rocks. You kind of shake the jar, and it will find the crevices. The small rocks find the other smaller crevices, and the sand fits in all, and it fills the jar. And so his point was, dealing with things that are priority first, like what are your big rocks in your life? Because this thing is a seesaw. Like you can't face everything all at once, right? Mm. You can't face it all. You can't do that. So figuring out like what your priorities are is a really important piece of this exercise of the solutions that are coming up. Even though it's not urgent, then dealing with that versus just waiting until it becomes urgent.
Yeah. And there's, you know, all those little things throughout the day that come up that seem like they are, but they aren't really.
Yeah, they're
checking
like
your
fire
stuff. Yeah. And one thing.
I cut you off. You were saying urgent things, hair on fire, things like checking what?
I was going to say things like checking email and like stuff like that. Those are the things we tend to get pulled into, like, like we get a phone call, we get a text, we like those seem like so important, but they're not really that, like it can wait a little bit is what I was going to say.
You were saying back to,
I was just going
to another point.
I was just going to say to go back through our list. I just wanted to go through all of it really quickly, because we had a lot of conversations in between. So I just wanted to list
Okay.
them 1 through 4 for everybody. So for reasons why we tend to avoid or live in this place of denial, the first reason is that we just have a lack of clarity around something, either how we're feeling about the situation, the solution about it, or it's another sort of ambiguous aspect of it that leaves us feeling lonely in it. And the second reason is it's messy and it's just going to get messier for a little while before we can start cleaning it up again. The third reason is that it's a process that leaves us really helpless sometimes. We end up feeling so helpless in it, and we have to acknowledge the suffering and the pain that we're going through. And the last reason is that it doesn't feel urgent enough, but it can only wait for so long. It's going to come and get you at some point. You're not going to have that luxury anymore.
Yeah. I did want to note right before we get into the solutions, when you're thinking about the things that you particularly avoid, you're going to want to think about what way you like to be perceived in general. And that's helpful even if you're just trying to deal with stuff you deny off in a little corner. What is it? How is it that you like to be perceived? And the second thing is, what emotions do you want to avoid? So what do you like to feel and what emotions do you not like to feel? And I wanted to give a few examples for this. This is really, really important, really core. Because, for example, like if you're the type of person who leans towards being really okay feeling sadness, like we gave the example of feeling pain and that's hard to feel and face, but some people are really okay with that. It's much harder for them. They tend to be okay playing that victim role a little bit. I think that's kind of harsh, but just think of it that way. But they're not okay. They're okay with sadness and they're okay with pain, but they're not okay, for example, taking initiative and owning that this is their problem that they have to fix, that they're not going to be okay taking the blame or taking responsibility. That is something they tend to avoid. Owning responsibility, owning their part in something. If you tend to be the type of person who is a fixer and you're the exact opposite, you're going to really avoid that helpless feeling. So you are going to avoid this messy thing, right? You're going to avoid it this whole messy thing. So you want to think about your kind of personality in general with this. So I just wanted to note that before we jump into our solutions.
Okay. So we really had one main solution and then some suggestions for how to create that solution, I guess. And it was seeking out a safe space or cultivating that space for yourself, because that's really what you need most when you're going through something that is messy and you feel helpless and, you know, you're feeling unclear. You need somewhere where you can go and take that and feel like you're safe in it, you're held, you're able to explore and unleash all of those feelings. And so there are a couple of ways you can do that. One, being able to brain dump with a friend or a coach, being able to go and just express everything on your mind. Go ahead. Sorry, Mooney.
We do this, like a lot of times we use like WhatsApp, like this 22 message thing, that minute message that I left Hannah, but we'll just like, it's not usually 22 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes. I'm like, oh my God, blah, 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 for 5 minutes. And I got it out of my system and I'm on to the next thing. And the person on the other end does not have to listen right away. Like if it takes them 3 days to get to your message, then that's fine. So those are rules that you can like partner up with a friend and just do that with. Or a coach. A coach is really helpful because they're going to ask you some questions.
And if you're not ready to do this with a person or you don't have a person that you can do it with, another great way to brain dump is journaling. So that was our second suggestion under finding or cultivating a safe space. Just grabbing a journal and writing. And, you know, we live in this tech age, so you could use your computer or whatever it is that you want. There is something really therapeutic for me about grabbing a pen and a piece of paper and just writing in that way. when we either speak it out loud, writing it out, there's something cathartic about just being able to say something that we've been holding on to, I think.
Speaking of journaling, I avoid journaling like the plague. Something about writing it down makes it so real. So if I'm in denial, then writing it down makes me, it kind of freaks me out. So if you have that, then it was helpful for me to have someone to talk to, because it's like, okay, well, I'm putting it with someone, so I'm not so lonely in it. But yeah.
Yeah. And
some people really like that lonely, like that, this is mine. Like, yeah. I just need to do it in a corner and process in a corner before I tell anyone. Yeah. And for me, that kind of, it freaked me out.
It's funny. I'm the opposite in that regard. Like, it's so much easier for me to do the journaling and then go and talk to somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's interesting that we're just on opposite ends of that spectrum. But I guess that's good for our listeners. Like, it can go either way, and that's fine. And both work, and you can use both also.
Yeah.
And then the last one that we both love is movement. So this could be any form of movement you want. It could be, you know, dancing, yoga, or some other kind of workout. Trampolines are like my new favorite thing. There's just something nice about I think dancing is another one that's really, there's something about when you're moving very quickly. I enjoy yoga too, and yoga is definitely healing, but there's something about the dancing or the trampoline that it's like, it's so fast that somehow it's like, it feels like a different kind of release than yoga.
And we actually store a lot of our, there's like memory cells in our body. We store some of our emotional baggage in our body. So like releasing that, like just, it helps process it a lot faster.
Yeah.
And a form of this is EFT. It's like EFT, Hannah's going to explain this a little bit more, emotional freedom technique or tapping. The beauty of it is it does both. Like, you have the movement and you have the sometimes brain dumping just a little bit of it.
And it's really just taking that whole idea of a mind-body connection and reinforcing it. Because a lot of times, you know, of course our mind and our body is connected, you know, of course. But we live in this way where we just separate them somehow. So our body does one thing, our mind does another, and they almost, in our heads, we don't consider that they intersect, but they actually do. So of course, if we're not feeling well physically, then our mind is not the same as it would be if we were feeling totally fine. And then vice versa. If we've got something that's weighing heavy on our mind, our physical health is going to be affected by that too. And so when it comes to emotional freedom technique, it's just bringing that aspect of our life back together using both our mind and our body. And so it's tapping on different acupressure points, just using your fingers, and you're tapping on different acupressure points while you're talking about whatever is on your mind. So if there's something that's really bothering you, if you're going through some kind of stress, you just talk about it. It's that simple. And
while
as
you're tapping on these places in your body.
Exactly. So as you're talking and you're tapping, something interesting starts to happen, and you start to feel a little less stressed and a little less stressed. And it's really just that you're finally giving yourself room to acknowledge whatever that thing is, to talk about it, to work through it. And we tend to, as Mooney said, hold on to these different pieces of stress in our body. So as we're tapping on those different acupressure points, they are places where we tend to hold on to stress. So, you know, if you go on YouTube, you could see exactly where those points are and have a guided tapping meditation that you work through. But it's, it's incredibly simple,
Hannah,
super effective. Yes.
Yeah, Hannah, when you've done this in the past, I really appreciated, like, you've had us, like, she does these things, tapping circles, and she leads them. So what she's done in the past is she's had us like be like, okay, where are you on your stress level on this issue, 1 to 10? And a lot of times we would start off at a higher number, and then where are you feeling this in your body? Are you feeling like, you know, tight anywhere? And we'd kind of acknowledge those points in our places in our body, and then by the time we're done with it, our number would be a lot lower. And even though we're not tapping on that particular part of our body, like our shoulders, that would hold a lot less tension. So it's pretty profound and amazing and effective, this EFT thing.
Yeah, it sounds so simple, but it's incredible. And, you know, it takes 5-10 minutes of your life, even less if you want.
Yeah.
So I highly, highly recommend it. I love teaching it for this exact reason. It's just such a beautifully simple technique, and it's so effective. Mm. If you are interested in more information, check out Brad Yates on YouTube. I'll put that note in the show notes too, so you can find his channel. Okay. But he's got tons of tapping meditations that you could follow along with. Yeah, and on that note, I think we're done. So we'll go ahead and end it there. Thank you all so much for listening. Catch us again in about 2 weeks' time. We'll probably have a guest or maybe even a couple of guests on our next episode. Also, I didn't mention this before, but if you've been listening to this entire episode and you happen to hear the hammering that's going on around me, thank you so much for sticking through. I'm sorry. This was driving me crazy. I don't know about anybody else, but, you know, the show must go on. And so it did. Again, thank you all for listening. We'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
You made it to the end. Thanks so much for listening.
Don't forget to subscribe, and you can find us at boldtruelife.com/podcast or your podcast player of choice, including iTunes, Stitcher, and Google.
We would love to hear your thoughts on today's conversation.
If you like what you hear, please take 2 minutes of your precious time to rate and review.
It really helps us out. Thanks.